Good morning. Welcome to Ripley Presbyterian Church and this day of worship and celebration of the grace and love of our Lord. Before we begin our worship, let's share in some announcements. It's good to see you all fellowshipping this morning, loving on each other, making each other feel welcome in the house of the Lord. We welcome those of you who are in the sanctuary, in this sacred setting this morning, and those of you who are worshiping wherever you are this morning. We're grateful to have all of you as a part of our church family and our worship community. In regards to our announcements, good to see Kelly Willie joining us online there this morning, all the way down in South Mississippi. Maybe Steve woke up too. I hope he's on there. So hopefully so. I see that Howells are showing off the pride and joy of that family today. Grateful to have little angel with us today. And I want to share our announcements. You'll see that there are some printed in your bulletin, and there are some that we may want to lift up verbally as we share together in joys and concerns as a faith community. Our mission focus for July has been Together for TIPA. The total collected so far has been $1,150. Thank you all for giving of yourselves, for being the light and love of Christ in our community. We're grateful for that. So this is, we're beginning August. I may have the wrong bulletin. I guess I have that. I'd have been preaching last week's sermon if I wasn't careful there. Now we're on the right track, so y'all forgive me for that. We're ready to go now. Our August mission focus will be Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, where we provide love and hope to people in special need. And certainly we have been recipients of PDA in our community during the tornadoes that hit our areas on Christmas Eve a few years ago. We've been a part of giving back to that. Dr. Norris Howe, Danny Braddock, and others traveled down to South Mississippi and New Orleans area when Katrina hit. So it's a great organization that we're glad to be a part of. So thank you for sharing that. I think we've got another newborn up there. My goodness, Alexis and Clint. Is he doing a good job? Is he a good daddy? Does he wake up in the middle of the night? Good. That is great. Wow. I hope that I can't even say a word today. We want you to hold that baby up. Can you, Clint? We may just go ahead and have a baptism today. Can we do that? What a beautiful, lovely soul. We're grateful to have y'all with us this morning. First out in appearance. Jenna said they're going to be getting out soon with little Tatum. I spoke with them through text this morning too. So, where was I? I had to chase that squirrel a little bit, but, we are wanting to share now in our prayer concerns and joys. We do have several concerns, important health concerns before our community of faith. Spoke with Shay Scott this morning through text message. She's been diagnosed with COVID-19. So we're lifting up Shay and Jason, their family. My friend and friend of many of yours, Dr. Jack Bennett, former pastor of First Baptist, is hospitalized in Corinth with COVID-19. So be prayerful for Pastor and Dr. Bennett, our dear friend and loved one. Are there other, I do want to share, Ann Williams is not feeling well today. She has strep throat, so we'll be prayerful for Ann and in her absence today. We also want to lift up the family of John Lovern. Many of you know John. He was a friend of mine, a dear family member of the Elliots. Elaine's husband died this week, and we were able to celebrate his life Friday, wasn't it? That's when we had the funeral. So it was a great service. John was just such a leader in his church at First United Methodist in our community in the region, and a gift to all of us who knew and loved him. So let's pray for Elaine and Barrett and Carly and their entire family as we grieve the loss of John, our dear friend and brother. We also want to continue to be prayerful for Donnie Couser, but we celebrated joy. He texted me last night about 10 o'clock and said, just be sure and tell everybody thank you so much for your prayers. for your love. And he said, I hope to be back soon. So Donnie is recovering quite well. We're grateful for his continued improvements. I also want to remember Lamond McLean. He had some eye surgery this week, and Shirley said they wouldn't be in worship because he looks like she's been whooping on him, was her word. So let's be prayerful for Lamond and Shirley as we miss them today too. So good to see many of you who are just coming back for the first time from COVID-19 before everything gets shut down again, right? Hopefully not. But seriously, the virus is expanding. It's, as Jennifer said, they're shutting down more and more things in the school district. We need to be prayerful for our community, for our loved ones, and let's continue to seek God's grace and the expertise of our friends like Dr. Charlie Elliott as we fight this virus in love for our community and those around us. Are there other joys or concerns that we need to add to our prayer list today? Yeah, my dear daddy and my youngest son Luke are going to be going on an East Coast baseball trip this week. So they'll be traveling and we're excited about that. I've made that trip and they won't get to see the Cardinals, Price, but they'll catch a few games on the East Coast, eat a lot of good food. So we pray God's traveling mercies and grace upon them. Are there others? Well, friends, church, brothers and sisters of faith, this is the day our Lord has made. Let us worship Him now in joy and in gladness. Will you receive with me these words of our call to worship from the psalmist? Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me in a willing spirit. Would you join with me now in response to that call to worship and praise our God, to consider our brokenness, our sinfulness, and God's forgiveness? Let's pray together. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed, and grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image, through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. What a privilege it is for me to offer you these words of life. Believe the good news. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
This morning's first reading comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. If you'd like to follow along, it's in your pew Bible on page 193. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gave Jennifer a long reading today, didn't I? Good to see Ann Elliott and Judy joining us virtually this morning. Ask you now to pray with me for God's illumination upon His holy word. Oh God, we heard those beautiful words played this morning that reminded us that this hour of prayer is indeed sweet. It's needed by us. It's in this time of worship when we gather together that we silence our minds. The busyness of the world we set apart for a time, and we plea out to you in our prayers, through our songs, in our worship, that we need more of you, O God, and less of us. So we ask now, in the sacredness of this moment of worship, that you help us to hear, that you give us the eyes to see, the hearts to receive, and the willingness to go forth more in your image. In the words of our call to worship, indeed, O God, restore in us this day the joy of our salvation, that we, as your light and love, may restore the world around us in your image. To the glory of Jesus Christ, and in His name we pray. Amen. So our second lesson of Scripture is from the Gospel of John. I'll begin with verse 24 from chapter 6. Listen with me for the word of the Lord. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor His disciples were there, they themselves got into the boat and they went to Capernaum together looking for Jesus. When they found Him on the other side of the sea, they said to Him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for Me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on Him that God the Father has set His seal." Then they said to Him, "What must I do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent." So they said to Him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it was My Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to Him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in Me will never be thirsty." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Well, my sides are a little sore today because last night, Manya and I went over to Tupelo and we took in an evening with Leanne Morgan. Some of you may know Leanne Morgan. She's a comedian, entertainer. And prior to our evening, we had dinner with her sister, Mawanya, and my brother-in-law, Scott. Manya's family, they've got unique names. They start off with Monica, Manya, Mawanya. And then to keep it rhyming, they added Chuck at the end. So that's her crew. But we had a meal last night, and before our dinner, I picked out, I don't know if y'all do this, but I take my eating pretty seriously. I'll plan sometimes a day or so ahead, and then if I know where I'm going that evening, I'll go ahead and I'll pick out what my entree's going to be. I want to be prepared. Well, I picked out my entree, Kenny. I was going to get this steak on a stick and a side salad. Man, I could already taste it, Leon. I knew it was going to be great. But before the entree got there, we did order some appetizers. And they were good, but they weren't as good as what was to come. So you know what? I'm not smart about a lot of things, but my eating, I'm smart about price. I paced myself. I didn't fill up on those appetizers because why? I knew something better was coming, Joey. I'd been waiting on that steak all day. I didn't want to get my fill on the filler uppers. I wanted the real pleasure that was to come, the feast. Y'all ever been to one of those Texas Day Brazils? My goodness, I hurt myself when I go to those places. Now, they'll trick you, too, if you're not careful. They'll try to fill you up on that sirloin or that salad and all those other things, but I'm waiting for the good stuff. I'm waiting for the lamb chops. I'll even order them if they don't have them out there. I'll tell them, bring it to me. Because I want to enjoy the feast. Hear with me, friends. The words of abundant life in our scripture today. Now, hear what I said there. Abundant life. More satisfying life. More filling life. Our text said, in verse 26, Jesus said, y'all are looking for me because you got your fill. That's the translation that we heard here today in verse 26. But some translations say this. Some say, you're looking for me because you ate the loaves and were satisfied. You see, I shared that story earlier about not getting filled on the things that come early. Because we can get satisfied, right? Our stomachs can be filled literally in a physical sense. Or we can simply be satisfied with something less desirable to serve us in our life. In our scripture, Jesus, I think, is saying to us, and certainly a message to me, to not be simply satisfied, friends and people of faith, with what the world gives you. Because let's be honest, quite often what the world gives us isn't worth taking. The world offers us challenges, hardships, and if we try to cope with the ways of the world on our own, I don't know about y'all, but oftentimes I just barely get along, and like the people with the bread, I can get my fill, I can be satisfied on less than what God had planned for me. I want the feast of life. I want the more abundant life that I think Jesus is talking about in our text today. He said, don't fill up on the cheap appetizers. I've got a more abundant feast for you when you put your trust in me. Friends, this is not preacher talk. This is me sharing with you what I've experienced as a sojourner in the faith. I've tried filling up on appetizers, and I've tried life with Jesus, and I found in Him the feast that this world cannot offer. Whatever I've been going through, whether it be challenges, health concerns, worries, depressions, anxieties, brokenness, whether it be in family or work, when I trust in Christ to be my bread, my sustaining meal, I have found the strength to endure and have my best life. I pray that you know that, Joe, and I encourage you today to renew your commitment, even as people of faith, to trust in Christ more abundantly with every aspect of your life, whether it be personal, work, professional, relational, or certainly your faith. In Him, we have the fullness of life. Jesus also says these words about encouraging us in our faith today about how do we get this life in Him. You know, I find this such wonderful news. Not only in Christ do we have a more abundant life now, but He promises us that we have life without end. He describes it here in our text as eternal life. He says, don't work for the bread that will simply give you a quick satisfaction, but work for the bread that is without end. Those beautiful words that I've quoted many times as we celebrate a dear loved one's life from verse 35 in our text today, where Jesus said this, I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never be hungry. Those who believe in me will never thirst. So how do we have that life? How do we have life eternal? The reassurance of heaven, of glory, of reigning with God as His children, where there's no more brokenness, no more COVID-19, no more sorrow or shakeup, but only life, love, and joy forever. Jesus says in our text today, to work for that life. Those are the words He uses. I love the way He presents this message to His hearers, to the Jewish followers. They say, we want bread. We want to be filled now, Randall. We want to have our needs met. But He said, work for that life that is without end, that glorious reign. And then He tells them how to do it. He said, the work of your salvation is simply this. You don't do any work. You trust me to do the work for you. He says in verse 27, the work that leads to life is simply believing in God's Son as the Savior of the world. Paul said it this way. Jennifer alluded to it in our text today in his writing to the church in Ephesus. He spoke of the life found in Christ as this, one of my most favorite words in the English language. He spoke of life as a gift. A gift. That's what grace is. She also used the word grace. Grace is God's love to us in the form of a gift. Don't you love receiving gifts? Diane and I were speaking recently about Elliot Bailey, and he went to the grocery store recently. And he hadn't been able to drive much, and he got out. He said, surely I can make it there. I can make a short little trip to the grocery store. And as he went through the line, he just felt a peace about making this trip. And as he was going through the line to purchase gifts, the cashier said, this little lady wants to speak to you, sir. And a lady in a wheelchair said, I want you to know I just bought your groceries. He was floored. He was overcome with gratitude and lack of understanding of why she would do such a thing. And her response was, I've been blessed and I just want to be a blessing to others. And Elliot, overcome with emotion, said, I'm going to do the same. You see, that's what gifts do to us, unmerited, undeserved gifts. When people bestow them upon us, they change the way we respond to the world around us. Well, friends, hear the good news. Receive it with me today. God loves us so much that the Son, the bread of heaven, came down to give us life that we don't earn, we don't work for, we simply receive as a gift of God's grace and love. Wow. May you embrace that good news today. But there is a response to faith. Our text tells us that for us to embrace this gift of life, life eternal, and yes, life more abundant now, that we need to believe. That was the response Jesus said. Have you ever got wrapped up in that word believe? What does it mean to believe in Jesus? What does it mean? You know, I think about the story some of us have heard before about a honeymoon couple that had gone to Niagara Falls, and they got to the falls, and as they were there, Leon, there was a guy with a tightrope pulled all the way across the falls, and he was walking across that tightrope pushing a wheelbarrow. He made it all the way across. He wobbled a time or two, and he not only made it across, he turned around and came back. And when he got back to the other side, everybody just clapped so big. And he said, some of y'all probably didn't think I'd make it, but I did. And they said, yeah, you made it. He said, did I do a good job? He said, you did a wonderful job. He said, y'all think I can do it again? Yes, sir. You've already proved you can do it once. You can do it again. He said, y'all really believe I can make it again? And they said, yes, you can make it. He said, okay, somebody hop in the barrel then and we'll go again. You see, it's one thing to believe with your head. It's another to believe with your heart, isn't it? When we believe, it changes the way we respond to the world around us. But not only this, here's the thing. When we believe in Jesus, not only are we believing He's God's Son, but like the guy in the wheelbarrow, we are trusting Him with our life. You see, that speaks to me about belief. When we give our life to Christ, it's more than just saying, I believe He's God's Son. But I'm trusting Him for my eternal salvation and my best life right now. Friends, today, as we face a world with challenges, as we face family conflict and personal conflict and political unrest at times and worries about our jobs and our community and illnesses, it's important as much today as it's ever been to trust in Christ to be our strength, to renew in us the joy of our salvation. You see, that's what I'm convinced. That these words that Jesus spoke of in our text today, as He said, He spoke of that gift in verse 32, and He said once again, I'll read it once more from verse 27. He says, don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. You see, when I hear that word eternal life, I don't think of it just simply as life without end, but indeed life beginning now for us as soon as we trust Christ more abundantly. Some of you know my friend and colleague, Dr. Ricky Ford, president of Northeast College, and he told me recently a story. He said, you know, he coached basketball, many of us know, for 30 years before he entered administration. He said, Jody, I remember times coaching basketball, and, you know, when things aren't going so well, often coaches will call a timeout, right? They know they need to make a change. He said, I can't tell you how many times that I would be in the heat of a game, things were going disastrous, I'd call a timeout, and I had no idea what I was going to say. I had no idea what I was going to say. And he said, I'd sit down in that chair and I'd start praying, even as the players were walking off the court. And he said, I would say something that I knew was exactly right, and I didn't have a clue before they got in front of me what I was going to say. He said, I knew it was me trusting in God to help me even in that adversity. You see, Ricky is committed to living his faith daily in his leadership, in seeking the promise of what Christ offers us in this text, that friends, through Him, not only do we have the gift of life eternal, but we have the gift of life more abundant every day until we go and glory with Him forever. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we thank You for giving us the gift of life. And as we bow this day, oh Lord, there may be some who've never claimed that gift. They've heard words of You as Son of God. And I pray with those today saying simply, God, as we bow in Your presence, if You truly are God's Son, Lord, and You yearn to be the Savior of my life, will You make Yourself known to me right now? Would You pour Your presence and peace into me in a way that I've never experienced before? And as we pray that prayer, friends, if you're uttering those words in your heart and mind for the first time, simply respond to this experience by saying, Jesus, I truly do believe you are God's Son, that you yearn to give me love and joy now and forever. Will you come into my life, delivering me from my shortcomings and sins? For I know I need a Savior to live in a perfect dwelling and have a more abundant life now. So in every way I can, God, I confess you this moment as my Lord and Savior now and forevermore. Friends, even as we began this journey, many of us with Christ, we share together in prayers for one another as His children. We ask, O God, that you guide our ministry as a congregation and community as we serve those around us through your love and for your glory. We pray for our nation. We ask, O God, for healing in our land. We pray for our president, the Senate and Congress who lead us, the Supreme Court. We lift up our military, those who serve and protect our freedom and liberty. We do pray for the sick in our community. We pray that you conquer this pandemic, O God, that you be with those who are loved and dear to us to bring healing and wholeness to them in their sickness. We pray for all the healthcare providers that are the warriors and heroes during this time. Keep them safe. Be with our educators as the school year begins. We lift up every person we've mentioned today for special prayer. Healing and wholeness. We pray for our friends and families, those closest to us, and those from whom we're estranged, even our enemies. And God, may we, as your people, seek to simply do the things daily that are pleasing to you and that will bring glory to you. And now, as your children, because of your gift of grace and love, will you receive the words we pray together that you taught us? Saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, as children of grace, of God's gift of life, let us remember what it is that we believe about our God. Will you affirm your faith with me? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now, friends, may you go forth with God's blessing for us as His people. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift His countenance, His gaze upon you, and give you peace now and forever. Amen. God bless you.